ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो इन Eternal obligation to the Simha Guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, who kindly instructed Srila Prabhupada to carry out his order. And thus ISKCON has come into existence. So the purpose of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj has to be executed. This is the sole aim of this institution. But how Srila Prabhupada understood and put into practical framework of the seven purposes of ISKCON, they are very practical to make us understand that it is to re-educate the humanity which has forgotten the eternal relationship of themselves with Lord Shri Krishna. And for that propagation of such information through instructions of those who are realizing the mood and purpose of Srila Prabhupada, then we have to refer the root of this information and instructions coming from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. This institution is playing a very vital role in transforming our material consciousness into spiritual consciousness. And through that medium, we become empowered to propagate. Chanting is essential, especially chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the most essential. And it has been systematically coming down in the disciplic succession through which the empowerment can be realized. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj in his final days have imbued Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood of separation. Every great acharya shows us that the maturity of our perfection in devotional life is to give instructions pertaining the effect of Krishna consciousness and that to fructify into perfect knowledgeability and virakti, detachment from the material world. So one has to simultaneously give instructions in the both. What is the absolute knowledge and how it can be realized? How it can reach to the maximum climax that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited in Gambhira. Instructions by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Sikshastakam, and the entire world of information of the efficacy of the holy name has been generated by his disciples like Haridas Thakur and six Goswamis. And it is all available to us. So, by an apparent measure in relationship to the other movements, so-called of religious nature, ISKCON is standing out on the topmost. And nobody talks of an individual, perfection. Neither they encourage, because most of them are based on belief system rather than on realized system. Realization comes through proper education. Otherwise, misfiring can create havoc. Misfiring means one which is not according to the verdict of the Shastra. Ye Shastra Midim Utsurja Vartate Kamakarata Nasa Siddhima Vapnoti Nasukham Na Param Gatim. Krishna gives that warning. So, keeping all the important instructions intact to make us reach to the highest possible realization, all these great acharyas shows. They showed virakti, that how much detached they are. In virakti, or in the detachment, the pangs of separation can be felt, not otherwise. So, it is advised to that if you are too much attached, then become attached on detachment. Our attachment on the detachment is very important. And that can be done in the assembly of the devotees, with the association is very important. So we will see in the final chapter, I'm trying to take this information in the quote of Bhaktisiddhanta himself, not the author's his own opinion. It gives only a guideline, but we will try to see. He retired, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj retired in Puri, Jagannath Puri. He was staying near Chatak Parvat, and it is considered to be no different than Giri Govardhan. And he there observed all the Vaishnava tithis of importance. He observed Madhvacharya's appearance day on celebrating enchanted verses specific for such occasion. And he quotes from the writings of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. He also celebrated in his final days the in commemoration to his spiritual master Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, a big festival. So in this way he was spending his final days. But it is said that people were observing him too, and they found him, he is fond of quoting to in a prayer to Lord Krishna that Pratyasam metvam kuru govardhana puranam O Govardhan, please fulfill my desires. His mind is totally absorbed in Vrindavan, Braja. Nija nikatan vasam dehi Govardhan tvam. He said, O Govardhan, please give me a dwelling place on the banks of the pond nearby you. These are his personal feelings. So, reminder of Chatak Parvat to Govardhan is the framework of mind. Then the instructions to the devotees. You all take to sincere Hari Bhajan. There are not many days left. But he would give long classes. He retired in Puri, but he never gave up traveling when occasion calls for. On December 6th, he left for Puri. He left Puri for Calcutta. And at Puri station, many distinguished guests came to offer their eulogies and appreciations and dandavats to him. They were all very much, you know, admiring about his contributions, both in writing the Vaishnava literature. But that's besides the point. Along the route, there was a stop in Katak, where he was met by Professor Sanyal and other followers. And in Calcutta, many devotees greeted him at Howrah stations and brought him to the Gaudiya Math Bagh Bazaar. And he gave lecture. He spoke of the importance of good association, satsanga. Then he also talked on the mystery of Lord Chaitanya's madness in separation in Puri during the last days at Gambira, an association of Srila Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai. Then he also spoke on the Guru's vision of seeing his Guru everywhere. So one who is totally absorbed in consciousness, Krishna consciousness, he will encompass everybody who is in connection with Krishna consciousness. So he never felt alone. So in this way, who is that main representation of the absolute truth? In one sense, there are many, but his own guru is one. So everything culminates upon personal guru. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj told that our guru is the representation of all other acharyas, predecessor acharyas. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur saying Sansara Dhavanam. It is meant for all encompassing Guru Tattva. So we chant Vande Guruho Sri Charanaravindam. The Guruho is a plural. It's not singular. So that means it's Guru Tattva. But then Prabhupada introduced Guru Puja means he is the Guru representing the entire Guru Tattva. So this is how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj taught us. Through his writing, and Srila Prabhupada executed. In Gaudiya Math, they don't have Guru Puja, but we do have. The reason is that Guru Tattva is already chanted, but where will you repose the Guru Tattva? And that is the representative of the entire parampara, your guru. He says, it is my Gurudev who graciously present in all these different forms. If he is not graciously present in all different forms, who would then preserve me? So this is a realization. Our guru has to be representative of the entire parampara, means all different forms who are included in parampara. Because they all are part of Guru Tattva. That is his vision. Those whom my Gurudev has made his own are my saviors. They are my saviors. This is what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur meant. The order of the gurus who have in their nature the protecting power of the divinity are always present in different forms and figures to bestow their mercy on me. All of them are specific manifestations of Sri Guru who confers spiritual knowledge, the transcendental reflection, which are also the nature of supporters, are the worship of the divinity and appear in different planes of cognitive existences, are my Gurudev in all different forms. So, it's not a nature or an authorized way to jump over somebody. One must start seeing one's guru to be representative of the entire parampara. This is the teaching. He is constantly showing us how to serve Godhead throughout life. It's no other than Sri Gurudev. Sri Gurudev is present in every object as the supporting principle. He is graciously present in every object. This is not an ideology. This is to be realized. Why? Because he says, how will you enter into the gopis' separation bow? That is Vipralamba. And that is his Guru Maharaj, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Vipralamba rasambodhe padambujayate nama. He quotes, Achyuta, O Priyala, O Panasa, Asana and Kovidara, O Jambu, O Arka, O Bilva, Bakula and Amra, O Kadamba and Nipa, and all of you other plants and trees living by the banks of Yamuna who have dedicated your very existence to the welfare of others, we gopis have lost our minds. So please tell us where Krishna has gone. All the gopis were speaking to the trees. See the consciousness. It is universal. Consciousness has to be expanded. Consciousness have no limitation unless you want to trap it in a limited way. Otherwise, it has no bounds. It's unlimited because Krishna is unlimited. And such consciousness can be perfectly exhibited in this vipralamba state, the states of separation. So therefore, all realized soul have to feel the pangs. And unless and until this vipralamba is not achieved, that state, then you cannot express the real bhava, mahabhava. Then where is the question of prema? It comes as a last fructification. So we have to learn that we have a higher obligation, that not just simply do this and get trapped into the nitty-gritty, but we have to become introspective and work out our ways. We got trapped into the workings, even in our institution, which may be materially motivated, who knows? But nonetheless, association is very important. But you become selective to the association. Those who are interested and they develop this path, it is not difficult, but we must have, first of all, desire. By deservation. Desire is cultivated by deservation. So therefore we have to go to the nitty-gritty things. Vaishnava etiquette. Trinadapi sunichena tararapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. This is the most pivotal instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to cultivate Vaishnava etiquette. And for that, we have to be regulated, taught, and implemented. Starting from rising in the early hours of the day, everything is included. So Vaishnava behavior is the most ideal, conducive to developing these moods. That's what Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj is teaching. He would talk and give teachings on the nature of our wicked mind. He would take it from Raghunath Das Goswami's Manha Siksha, Sada Dambam Hitva, always give up pride, which is locked in our mind. So, the dangers and other things, otherwise it is created by the mind, how can it be curbed? He would also quote from Sharanagati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Vidya Sharanagati, Sharanga Sharanagati, where we have to prepare our mind.
There are many instructions. He wrote himself. Dustamana Tukisira Vaishnava. He teaches us that we have to control the mind. But unless and until our efforts are constantly on how to control, it is too easy to say we think that by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra everything will be controlled. But where are our desires? How do we curb our desires and how do we correct our mental attitude? So you have to teach your mind. It's not that somebody else is going to come and teach, but writing about their own realization, our predecessor Acharya, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, shows how to chastise the mind, how to bring out its frailties and hit him back. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj also went to Dhaka in 1935, and he would instruct, look within, amend yourself, rather than pry into the frailty of others. I mean, don't point fingers at others. The thumb is pointing at you. So you better see your pointing first. In this world of Maya, ever to the Lord, full of trials and tribulations, only patience, humility, and respect for others are our friends for Hari Bhajan. Lord Gausundara puts his devotees in various difficulties and associations to taste their patience and strength of mind. Such depends on their good fortune. A devotee thinks it is my good fortune that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is putting her into association of some wicked persons, so I can teach my mind how to curb it. All these experiences are for our own self. Not external self, but internal. Our own mind, intelligence, and ego, they have to be purified. If we become introspective, that is his advice. Is there. When the faults in others misguide and delude you, have patience, introspect, find faults in yourself. Know that others cannot harm you unless you harm yourself. Nobody can harm you. But if you are harming yourself, then you are already weak. Others will take disadvantage of you. So better learn. I wish that every selfless, tender-hearted person of Gaudiya Math will be prepared to shed 200 gallons of blood for nourishment of the spiritual corpus of every individual in this world. This is the lofty mission. And Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON towards that end, to systematically educate. Even though we may be doing groundwork, but nonetheless it is foundationally so much important upon which we can build our Vaishnava character properly. And apani acharite sikhailo bhagavad dharma. It becomes on our own onus. that by our example people will learn. He would give long lectures even towards the end of his life. And we are too much cramped into 45 minutes. He would personally pray. According to Raghunath Das Goswami in Manah Siksha, "Oh mind, my brother, I fall down at your feet and beg you to relish unprecedented and excessive rati bhava in the constant remembrance of the spiritual master, the cows, the cowherd's men, and the milkmaids of Raja, the loving devotees of Lord Krishna, the pure brahmanas, and the living mantra heard from the divine master, which releases the mind from maya bondage. The holy name of Krishna and the divine youthful couple of Raja, casting aside all thoughts of pride, that is egoism, of the mundane plane, at all times and under all circumstances." He also was referring from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song from Gitavali, where bhajare bhajare amar man ati manda, bhajan bita bina gati naire. So, "Oh my mind, how wicked, foolish you are. Just worship the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna in the forest of Braja. Without such worship, there is no means of spiritual advancement. Give up all speculative knowledge and materialistic activities and just worship Radha and Krishna in the forest of Braja." Then he also wrote Dustamana, which was previously entitled as Nirjan Anartha. Do we have time to chant this Dustamana? It's one of my favorite. Can we? It's 19 stanzas. Well, we have prepared. Can you distribute, please? It's already there. So please share it. And where is the Mridanga man? Who will play mridanga? Somebody can play bhajan tal. Yep. Small letters, but I'll try anyway. Dustamana, tumi kisira vaishnava. Dustamana, tumi kisira vaishnava. Pratishtharatare nirjane raghare. Pratishtharatare nirjane raghare. Tav hari naam keval kaitava. Tav hari naam keval kaitava. Dustamana, tumi kisira vaishnava. Dustamana, tumi kisira vaishnava. Jadera pratishtha, sukarera vishtha. Jadera pratishtha, sukarera vishtha. Jano na kitata mayar vaibhava. Jano na katara mayar vaibhava. Kanaka kamini
divasayamini kanaka kamini divasayamini bhavya ki kaja nitya sesha ba bhavya ki kaja nitya sesha ba dustamana tumi kisera vaishnava dustamana tumi kisera tomara kanaka bhoge rajanaka tomara kanaka bhoge rajanaka kanakera dware seva ho madhava kanakera madhava kamiri kama nah tav dhama kamini rikama nah tav dhama tahar malik keval yadava tahar malik keval yadava dushtamana tumi kisira vaishnava dushtamana tumi kisera vaishnava pratishtharataru jadamayamaru pratishtharataru jadamayamaru na pela ravana yujya raghava na pela yujya raghava Vaishnavi pratishtha tahe karo nishtha Vaishnavi pratishtha tate karo nishtha tahana bajile labibe raurava tahana bajile labibe raurava dushtamana tumi kisera vaishnava dushtamana tumi kisera vaishnava harijana dvesha pratishtha klesha harijana dvesha pratishtha klesha Koro keno tabe tahar gaurava gaurava Vaishnavir pache pratishtha sache Vaishnavir pache pratishtha sache tate kavu nahe anitya vaibhava tate kavu Vaibhava dushtamana tumi kisera vaishnava dushtamana tumi kisera vaishnava sehari sambandha shunya maya gandha sehari sambandha taha kabhu nae jadera kaitava pratishtha chandali nirjanata jali ubhaye jani ho mai karaurava dushtamana tumi kisera vaishnava kirtana charibo pratishthamakivo kirtanacham. Ki kaja durdiya tadrish gaurava. Madhavendra puri bhava ghar churi. Na koi loka busadai janaba. Tushtamana tumi kisira vaishnava. Tomara pratishtha sukare ravishtha. Tarasa samakabu namanava. Matsarata vase tumi jadarase. Maje chocharya kirtana saushthava. Dushtamana tumi kisera vaishnava. Tai dushtamana nirjana bhajana. Prachari cho chale ku yogi vaibhava. Prabhu sanatane paramajatane. Shiksha dilo yatha chinto sei sabha. Dushtamana tumi kisira vaishnava. Sei duti katha bhulo na sarvatha. Ucchaishvare karo hari namarava. Phalgu arayukta baddha aramukta. Kabuna bhavino ekakar sabha. Dushtamana tumi kisira vaishnava. Kanaka kamini pratishtha bhagini. Chadiya che jare sei vaishnava.
Chadiya che jare
sei vaishnava. Sei anasakta sei shuddha bhakta. Sansara tatha pae parabhava. Dushtamana tumi kisera vaishnava.
यथा योग्य भोग नहीं तथा रोग अनासक्त से की कारो कहब आसक्ति रहित संबंध सहित विषय समुद सकली माधव दुष्ट मान तुम्हें किसेरा वैष्णव से युक्त वैराग्य तहा तो सौभाग्य तहा जड़े हरे वैभव कितने जहार प्रतिष्ठा संभार तहार संपत्ति केवल कैतव दुष्ट मान तुम्हें किसेरा वैष्णव विषय मुमुक्षु भोगेरा बुभुक्षु दुये त्यजो मन दुई अवैष्णव कृष्णेर संबंध अप्रकृत स्कंध कबू न है तथा जड़े र संभव दुष्ट मान तुम्हें किसेरा वैष्णव मायावादी जान कृष्ण तिरमान मुक्त अभिमाने निंदे वैष्णव वैष्णवीर दास तव भक्ति आश केनो वादा कीचो निर्जन आहव दुष्ट मान तुम्हें किसेरा वैष्णव जे फल्गु वैरागी कोहे निज त्यागी सेना पारे कबू होइते वैष्णव हरि पद छाड़ी निर्जनता बाड़ी लबिया की फल फल्गु से वैभव दुष्ट मान तुम्हें कि Sira Vaishnava. Radha Dasirohi Chari Bhogahi. Pratishthasana hai kirtana gaurava.
Pratishthasana hai kirtana gaurava.
Radha nitya jana taha chari mana. Keno va nirjana bhajana kaitava. Dushta mana tumi kisera Vaishnava. Brajavasi gana pracharaka dhana. Pratishtha bhikshuka tara nahe sava. Prana achetara sehetu prachara. Pratishtha sahina krishna gatha sava. Dushta mana tumi kisera Vaishnava. Sri Daita Dasa kirtane te asa. Kara uccha svare hari namarava.
Kara uccha svare hari namarava.
Kirtana prabhave smarana svabhave.
Kirtana prabhave smarana svabhave.
Se kale bhajana nirjana sambhava. Dushta mana tumi kisera Vaishnava.
O wicked mind, what kind of Vaishnava do you think you are? Your pretentious show of chanting Lord Hari's holy name in a solitary praise is only for the sake of attaining the false prestige of a worldly reputation. It is nothing but pure hypocrisy. Such materialistic prestige is as disgusting as the stool of a hog. Do you not know that it is only a mere illusion cast by the potency of Maya? What is the value of contemplating day and night your plans for enjoying wealth and women? All these things are only temporary. When you claim wealth as your own, it creates in you ever increasing desire for material enjoyment. Your riches should be used for serving Madha and the Lord of all wealth. Neither it is your proper place to indulge in the lust for women whose only true proprietor is Lord Yadav. The demon Ravana, the lust incarnate, fought with Lord Ramchandra, love incarnate, in order to gain the tree of worldly reputation. But that oasis turned out to be like a mirage cast in the desert wasteland of the Lord's illusory material potency. Please cultivate fixed determination to attain only the steady and solid platform whereupon a Vaishnava ever stands. If you neglect worshipping the Lord from this position, then you will ultimately attain a hellish existence. Why do you needlessly suffer the torment of blaspheming the devotees of Lord Hari, attempting to achieve their eminence, thereby only proving your own fruitless foolishness? The desire for spiritual eminence is easily fulfilled when one becomes a devotee of Lord, for eternal fame automatically follows the heels of a Vaishnava. And that fame is never to be considered a temporary worldly opulence. The relationship between a devotee and the Lord Hari is devoid of even a trace of worldly illusion. It has nothing to do with the materialistic cheating propensity. The prestige of so-called popularity in the material realm is compared to the treacherous dog-eating witch, and the attempt to live in solitude for supposedly engaged in unalloyed bhajan is compared to an entangling network of distraction. Please know that anyone striving in either of these ways verily lives in the hell of Maya's illusion. I shall give up the chanting of Lord's name publicly in kirtan and retire in solitude, thus smearing myself with worldly honor. Dear mind, what is the good of seeking such so-called glory? I will always remind you that the great soul Madhavendra Puri never deceived himself in that regard by committing theft in his own storehouse for perception the way you do. Your cheap reputation is equal to the stool of a hog. An ordinary ambitious man like you can never be equaled with the great devotee of Madhavendra Puri's eminence. Under the sway of envy, you have drowned yourself in the filthy waters of material enjoyment, and having abandoned the excellent perfection of congregational kirtan. Truly, O wicked mind, the glories of so-called solitary worship are propagated only by false yogis using unscrupulous means to deceive others. To save yourself from these pitfalls, please contemplate in the instructions that the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kindly gave us while addressing Sri Sanatana Goswami with the utmost care. Do not forget for a moment that two most valuable concepts that he taught. First, the principle of dry, apparent renunciation as opposed to the real, appropriate renunciation, and the principle of a soul being trapped in the bondage of matter as opposed to the soul who is liberated. Don't ever make the mistake of thinking that these conflicting concepts are on the same level. Please remember this while engaging yourself in chanting Lord's glories, the holy name, as loud as possibly can. One is truly a Vaishnava who has given up the habit of falling victim to ferocious tigress of wealth, beauty and fame. Such a soul is factually detached from the material life and is known as pure devotee. Someone with this consciousness of detachment has thereby become victorious over the mundane world of birth and death. One is indeed detached who moderately partakes the world worldly things that are deemed necessary for living in devotional service. A devotee acting in that manner does not fall prey to the disease of material infatuations. Thus devoid of selfish attachment and endowed with ability to see things in relationship to the Lord, all sense objects are then directly perceived as being Lord's Madhava's himself. This is the standard of befitting renunciation, and one who realizes this is most fortunate indeed. Everything involved in such a devotee's life represents Lord Hari's personal spiritual opulence as manifested in the world of matter. On the other hand, one who engages in chanting the Lord's name with hopes of enhancing his own material reputation finds that all his activities and paraphernalia represent only the riches of hypocrisy. O mind, please reject the company of two types of persons: those desiring impersonal liberation from the material world and those who desire to enjoy the pleasure of material sense objects. Both of these are equally non-devotees. The things that are used in relation to Lord Krishna are objects belonging directly to the transcendental realm, and thus having nothing to do with the matter, they cannot either owned or forsaken by person interested in mundane enjoyment or renunciation. An impersonal philosopher is opposed to thinking of Krishna as an object of devotion, and thus being puffed up with the false pride of imaginary liberation, he dares to criticize the true devotee of the Lord. O mind, you are the servant of Vaishnavas, and you should always hope for attaining devotion. Why then you do make such a loud commotion by calling me and trying to prove this and the supposed supremacy of your practice of solitary worship? One who is falsely gives up things that could actually be used in Lord's service proudly calls himself a renunciate. But unfortunately, he can never become a Vaishnava by such an attitude. Abandoning his servitorship to the lotus feet of the Lord Hari and resigning himself to his solitary home, whatever is gained by that exercise can only be worthless treasure of deception. Ever engage yourself in the service of Sri Radha and keep aloof from vicious snake of materialistic sense gratification. The glories of participating in Lord's Kirtan is not meant to bolster anyone's ambition or personal recognition. O mind, why then have you abandoned the identity of being Radha's eternal servant in favor of retiring to solitary place to practice the cheating process of so-called bhajan? The most valuable treasures amongst the Lord's preachers are the eternal personalities residing in Vrajadham. They never occupy themselves with begging for worthless material reputation, which is cherished only by the living dead. The Brajavasis are truly infused with life, and therefore they preach in order to give to the walking corpses of the mundane world. All the songs that the Brajavasis sing about the glories of Lord Krishna are devoid of any tinge of desire for fame. This humble servant of Radha and her beloved Krishna always hopes for kirtan, and he begs all to loudly sing the names of Lord Hari. The transcendental power of congregational chanting automatically awakens the remembrance of the Lord and his divine pastimes in relation to one's own eternal spiritual form. Only at that time does it become possible to go off to a solitary place and engage in the confidential worship of their Lordship. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj ki jai. Yeah. So, Dinabandhu Prabhu, it's your turn. I took about 15 minutes more. Sorry. Yeah.
Most auspicious day, Vyas Puja of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. This is disappearance day. Oh, they were disappearance. Vyas Puja is a couple of months later. All right. Disappearance day of Mr. Vyanagiri Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada, the guru of our Srila Prabhupada. So, what to say in a few minutes? We'll try to speak something somehow. He was such an exalted Vaishnava. We just heard this beautiful poem that he's written. And the more we read this poem, the more we become depressed, realizing we're a kisera Vaishnava. What type of Vaishnava are you? So somehow, some type of Vaishnava like that, who spent his life in sense gratification and performing the most heinous types of sinful activities, has been asked to speak on this day, so it's maybe not appropriate, but anyway, somehow they asked me to speak. So today is the fourth day of the month of Narayan. Fourth day of the Krishna Paksh, dark half of the month of Narayan. Also known as Posh. In Hindi we call this month Posh, which means, just like 2 days ago, on Thursday, every Thursday in this month there is a Khichdi Mela in Belvan, just across the river in Belvan. So we already missed one Thursday, so next, there's three more Thursdays you can take advantage of this wonderful Mela there. So that time, the father of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, was the magistrate at Puri. And the magistrate of Puri was automatically the manager of Jagannath Temple. And just down this little ways, maybe 100 meters down the road from the Singhadwara gate, was the official residence of the district magistrate. So somehow the Gaudiya Math, they managed to obtain that place, and they built a very glorious temple there. And for the information of all our life members, there's a big sign in the entrance that this is not an ISKCON temple. So anyway, right on the grand road, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was staying, and he was seeing the state of Vaishnavism at that time. After Mahaprabhu's disappearance, so many unscrupulous persons completely deviated from the true teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, such that respectable people had no respect at all for Gaudiya Vaishnava. They thought it's just an excuse for enjoying sex life, as people were trying to imitate the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, which is the most dangerous form of poison. It is just like We're meant to meditate on those pastimes. Because Srimad Bhagavatam says, by meditating on Krishna's pastimes of the gopis, ridrog, the disease of the heart, will be cured. Those pastimes are very wonderful. Just like to see the ocean is very wonderful. In fact, Shastra says, just by taking darshan of the ocean, one becomes freed from sins. One becomes purified by seeing the ocean. But if you try to drink the water of the ocean, you will become sick and die. It is very marvelous to see the ocean. It is very awe-inspiring. You feel, realize how tiny you are. Insignificant. It is awe-inspiring. But if you try to drink that water, then you'll die. You cannot survive. Same way, Lord's pastimes with the gopis, they're very incredible. Very relishable. If we try to appreciate those, then we become purified. If we try to imitate, just like by drinking the ocean you'll die, then your spiritual life will die. So Vaishnavism was in a very sore state. People were misusing the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're making it into business that only certain families were allowed to propagate the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so many things were there. People were just... Everything he said in the song, which is completely against the teachings of Mahaprabhu, that would become the hallmark of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. False pride, desire for riches and sense gratification. The Kulin Brahmins would have a wife in every village. They would sail up and down and go to their one wife's village and then go to the next wife's village and just enjoy sense gratification under the guise of being a guru. So it was in a very sore state. Nobody, respectful people, had any, even looked out of the corner of their eye at Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So at that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who himself was a great skeptic, he had studied all the Western philosophy trying to understand the real meaning of life. And at that time, it was very difficult for him to find a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita, although he was living in Calcutta. And he finally understood the real teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he was feeling helpless. So he was praying for a ray of Vishnu, that you please, I'm unable to do anything, this alone. Only if you send someone from your own camp. I need reinforcements, but only somebody from your own camp, from your own associates. So on this fourth day of the dark half of the month of Narayan, in holy place of Jagannath Puri, Srila Bhakti Saran Saraswati Thakur was pleased to make his appearance. So that was in December, or I think actually that particular year it came in February, beginning of February, so March, April, May, June. July means Rath Yatra, so 6 months. Later was Rath Yatra. And Prabhupada explains that sometimes just like you're driving your motor car and it stops running. And you have to fix it and find out what has happened. So Jagannath cart also, sometimes it stops running. Prabhupada was so cute to use such example of your motor car stops running. So the motor car, the Jagannath cart stopped just in front of the district magistrate's house. So Prabhupada explained she was the wife of the district magistrate, so she could use her position. She took the child and she climbed on the cart because she was such a respected person, nobody could stop her. And she took her child and laid it at the feet of Jagannath. Immediately one of Jagannath's garlands came falling down on top of that child. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur could understand, this is the person who will help me in my mission. Well, we got one thing, that when the child was born, his umbilical cord was wrapped around just like a Brahman thread, wrapped around his neck like Brahman thread. So you could understand many different signs were there. And we find the determination of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati manifested. Of course, his name was Bimal Prasad. So you know in the temple of Jagannath there's one Bimla Devi, and until the Lord's Prasadam is offered to Bimla Devi, it doesn't become Mahaprasad. So he was named as Bimal Prasad. So he was only about 4 years old, and his father came from the market and brought some mangoes. So naturally, 4 year boy will see a bag of mangoes, immediately what he'll do, he'll eat them. So he began relishing the mangoes. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur came back and saw this going on. Are, I have bought these for Thakurji. Huh? Why are you taking without offering them to Thakurji? So then, although he is only 4 years old, he took it so strictly, so seriously, that for the rest of his long life, he never tasted mango. Even though his disciples, in his old age, they would offer him mango. He said, no, I'm a offender, I cannot take. Even from 4 years old, he manifested the great determination. As we can imagine, especially in this Kali Yuga, that somebody can remain brahmachari his whole life, this is practically unimaginable. But that determination is manifest even at 4 years old. For the rest of his life, he never touched mango. In his school, he excelled like anything. We all know that he studied astronomy and astrology. He became very, very great astrologer. So, Gorkishore Das Babaji, in fact, Jagannath Das Babaji asked him to make a Navadvip Panjika, because at that time there was no calendar with all the Lord's associates, the disappearance days. We almost missed Bibhu Chaitanya's day because we need a calendar for Vrindavan now. So there was no calendar with the dates of the disappearances and appearances of the great, all the associates of the Lord. So he established this Navadvip Panjika. And in Sanskrit also he excelled in everything. He was, such that he got the Maharaja Tripura engaged him in his service, and he made so many enemies because he saw how everybody was cheating, and he stopped all the cheating. Then he thought this worldly business is a useless thing, so he begged the king to let him retire. So the king retired him with pension. After some time, he even stopped receiving that pension. He stopped accepting that pension. So in many ways, he was very, very qualified. He knew, he had great knowledge, great reputation. He had everything. And his father, Bhaktivinoda, initiated him into Harinam and mantras for worshipping their shalagrams. But being his father, he said he cannot give him official diksha. So he consulted, then who should I take diksha from? He said, from Gorkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And Gorkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, as was the case in that era, even now in Nandagam I meet people, older people, not the younger people, but older people, they're unable to write their name. So Gorkishore Das Babaji, he is unable to write his own name. Still, by his devotion, he could quote so many verses. Sometimes the caste Brahmins would get upset with him. He would quote so many verses to prove the efficacy of the holy name, the superiority of the holy name over all other processes. Because it's not a question of becoming a big scholar. It's not that when you get to the gate of Goloka, they're going to ask, well, how many slokas do you know? It's not scholarship. We have seen so many big scholars become puffed up with their scholarship and then they think they become better acharya than their guru. So anyway, he had all of these great qualities and Gaurakishore Das Babaji was completely destitute, living in a latrine. He didn't like people to bother him, so he lived in one latrine in some dharmshala in Navadip. He wore cloth that was taken from dead bodies at the burning ghat. Sometimes he just went naked. He was quite a character. Not the type of person you would expect to initiate someone as learned and prestigious as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur admits that there was many, many gurus who were very anxious. They wanted to have him as their disciple. If I could get such an illustrious person as my disciple, then I'll be very glorious. This is just the Gaurakishore. He wasn't interested in getting disciples. Not like nowadays, just like one time, sometimes we go to Madhuvan and you see one very ugly replica of the Taj Mahal there on the highway. So this fellow used to charge 1 rupee for getting diksha. He was so anxious to get disciples, so he had lakh and lakh disciples. Not like that. Gaurakishore, when Bhaktisiddhanta asked him, he said, "No, I'm not taking any disciple. I accepted one disciple. He cheated me, took 2 rupees. 2 rupees is a lot of money in those days, and ran away. So I don't want any disciple." And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, an article in Harmonist, he admits that I was thinking that I was very puffed up. I am so qualified. I have this, all these great characteristics. I know Sanskrit very well. I'm very learned. I know astrology. I have so many qualifications. He said, but my Guru Maharaj saw me destitute. Because I was puffed up with all these things. It was then only I could realize that if he sees me as destitute, then what valuable thing he has. I'm thinking that I'm a very great person, and he's just seeing me not worthy of giving diksha. So what great thing he has, what treasure he has. He said, then I could understand that all my worldly learning and education and pratistha, and just like this whole song we read, this is all useless. Completely useless. So again he begged Gaurakishore. Gaurakishore said, I have to get order from Mahaprabhu. So again he begged. He said, what did Mahaprabhu say? I forgot to ask. Finally one day he asked, he said, I haven't gotten the order yet. Then he said, what is that? Kandiya? What is that verse? Prana na rakibo. That crying and crying, I will give up my life. Then he said, all right. Then he saw that this fellow has recognized that all his, whatever material quality he has, they're only material qualities, they won't help him in spiritual life. Then he said, all right, you go take bath in Jalangi, because that is Saraswati. Because later he would be known that he was already given the title Saraswati for his astrology, greatness in astrology. So then he gave him, because the first time Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati saw him, he was wearing a tiger skin cap. And he had a basket with puja paraphernalia. So he gave all of that, he gave that tiger skin cap to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, all useless little things. And then little pieces of string with knots in them used for chanting japa, and some different simple paraphernalia for puja. He gave all of those things to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta accepted these things as a great treasure. They're all simple things, just not even proper japa beads, just some pieces of cloth with some knots. For chanting japa. And Some people dispute whether Srila Bhaktisiddhanta actually got initiation. But I remember I ran into one Baba who lived in Gopinath Bazar. He told me his spiritual master, his guru, was there at the time when he received, his guru witnessed the initiation. So it was definitely, he was initiated by Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who was very affectionate. Then Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he never let anyone touch his feet, he said, but he put his foot on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's head. He gave him the name Barsabhanavi Devi, which is the name of Radharani, Dasi of Radharani. And then he placed his foot on, he never let anybody touch his foot, but he personally placed his foot on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's head. He said, the jolt, spiritual jolt I got for that left me spinning for 1 year. I was wandering through the cosmos not knowing what had hit me for 1 year after that. So we know that in fulfillment of Bhaktivinod's desire to have someone to help him, Bhaktisiddhanta was very strict in driving out all of the pretenders. That's why he had wanted to take initiation. Everyone was anxious to get him as a disciple. He saw they were all pretenders just after false prestige, which here he described the stool of the pig. Pratista uchista, sur pratista, sur ustis. Just the stool of the pig. So, it's very late, we know many of the stories. Some few things we always hear about how he was so, he became known as Singha Guru. We're always hearing how he was so strict and very stern. But our Bhaktivikas Maharaj's probably says, Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. There we find so many wonderful, loving stories. How he would go at night and he would make sure the mosquito nets were tied properly in the brahmacharis' rooms. Otherwise, they'll get bit by mosquito and get malaria, and the preaching work will be stopped. He was very loving and is actually a very affectionate, loving person. We only hear all the stern and strict, and he was all of those things, but he was also very loving, and he would encourage somebody. They were selling some little pamphlet for 2 paisa, and if somebody sold 2 of them, he would encourage them like anything. It was very, we don't hear these stories, but from Bhakti Bekas Maharaj, we get all these nice stories, how he was very sweet and loving, and of course, Prabhupada, everyone else was afraid to go near Bhaktisiddhanta, but Prabhupada was very affectionate to our Prabhupada, because he recognized, in fact, they sometimes said, he's outsider, he's living outside the mat. He said, Bhakti says, it is better that he is away from you. He will do everything in the course of time. Bhaktisiddhanta could understand. And Bhaktisiddhanta's big desire was to spread Krishna consciousness to the Western countries. That was also Bhaktivinoda. Bhaktivinoda wrote one book, Lord Chaitanya, His Life and Precepts, which in the birth year of Srila Prabhupada, 1896, it reached to McGill University in Canada. It's very prophetic. So, Prabhupada explains how he was considered like a leader among his friends, and they had met this sadhu, so they wanted to get Abai's opinion, because he was like a leader amongst all his friends. And they wanted Abai to go, but Abai also had seen all these sadhu babas are all just bogus humbluff. His father used to invite so many for lunch, and he saw they're just bidi smokers and useless characters. He said, no, I've seen all these babas. No, this one is different, you come. So practically his friends forced him. He didn't want to go. He said, I've seen all these babas. And then he brought them there to Ultadanga Road, and Prabhupada came on the roof, and just because he's born in cultured family, naturally you bow down and pay respects to a sadhu. Before he even got up, without even having met him or anything, he said, you're a young, intelligent boy, you know English, you should preach in the English language. And Prabhupada, of course, was Gandhi's follower, and everyone would have accepted his proposal immediately, the whole country. He said, no, how the message of Mahaprabhu we heard, since we're ruled by someone else, we're a subservient country, who will hear Mahaprabhu's message? He said, Mahaprabhu's message is so important. It doesn't depend on who's some political change or political. It doesn't depend on anything material. And the whole country would have been behind Prabhupada's argument. But Prabhupada was defeated. He said, nobody ever defeated me, but he defeated me. Immediately understood that it is Mahaprabhu's message beyond all material calculations. So then his friends asked him, what do you think? He said, well, I have met a wonderful personality. Mahaprabhu's mission is now in very good hands. So throughout his life, Prabhupada was always remembering that mission. Somehow he was trying to do his householder life and do his business, thinking somehow I'll make money and help the mission. Finally, at the very end, he wrote, he said, everybody's doing nice service, what can I do? He said, if you preach in the English language, it will be good for you, it will be good for those who hear you. And then a few days later, just before he left this world, he said, I want that my flesh should be sacrificed. Using a Christian example, or not exactly Christian, but from Old Testament, how they used to offer sacrifices, flesh sacrifices. I offer that my flesh should be sacrificed on the altar of preaching the holy name. This is our only business. We have no business trying to exploit this material world for our own edification or our own sense gratification. We just want to become the dust of Rupa and Raghunath and be instrument in spreading the chanting of the holy name. That is a few days before he left. And then he left. And Prabhupada was keeping this one in his heart. And finally we know that he fulfilled that desire of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, traveling across the ocean, which is supposedly forbidden for sannyasi, but he traveled across the ocean following the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and spread this Krishna consciousness all over the world. Even now we're seeing that here in Vrindavan, even the signs in the shops are in Russian. Prabhupada went to the most atheistic place in the world and planted the seed of Krishna consciousness now that such that the whole landscape of Vrindavan has changed. There's one huge Russian house. There's signs in the shops are in Russian. Prabhupada fulfilled the desire of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So on this very auspicious disappearance day here in the holy land of Vrindavan, we're very fortunate. It has all been, this good fortune has been made for us by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who saved our Srila Prabhupada and sent him to save all of us useless rascals rotting in the material world. So I started this class by saying that it's very inappropriate that such a person who was born in a very sinful place, committing sin, eating meat, drinking wine, and doing all nonsense things, all types of drugs, and we don't want to discuss, is inappropriate that such a person sit here. But actually, it is most appropriate because this shows the power of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that such a fallen person as me can sit here on this holy day in Sri Vrindavan Dham and glorify his qualities. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai.